Just on our way through to Chris Scott, not picking up his phone at this stage, but I'm sure he will any tick of the clock. Nathan Buckley,
you've dropped him. You've just thrown him in front of the bus.
Come on, Scotty, if you're out there listening, pick up the phone. Will you turn it on? We're waiting for you. Obviously, the standard bearers, the big, tall senior men down back, and Joel Selwood was in the middle of it all again.
Wasn't he great again?
He was great. What did you make of that little cluster of young guys that is now starting to get their time at the wheel for Geelong? Is there enough there to suggest that they're actually
Furlough, Caddy, Corey Gregson.
Gregson's kid smart.
Okay, there's
Darcy Lang, Jed Buse.
Well, he did a great job on that.
He did.
Hey, you've got to say, Jed Buse is getting a big job. They're not just actually saying, you've come into Geelong, we've won three premierships over the last 6 or 7 years. You can come along and we'll coach you into this and give you a nice... He's getting the big job in the forward line everywhere. They threw him Elliott this week on the back of the biggest jobs in each game he's played.
Yeah. Corey Gregson, I just thought to myself, Stephen Wells, you've done it again. Mm. I mean, he's small in stature, but that goal in the first quarter when he kicked it from 55, getting pushed over, I thought to myself, they've got another one. And you know what it is? He's quick.
God, he's small.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And he can kick it.
He's got balance like Boomer.
He's done that before, hasn't he, Wellesley? I mean, you look at Stokes, you look at Christensen. Mm. Not much size about those guys that he's brought in. So what he looks for is pure talent at times rather than necessarily what they can't do.
So
what
we're talking about football acumen before. He's a 9 out of 10. Yeah. He's only played 6 games.
Yeah.
Hey, so we're going to write an article now. Gee, the midfielders are getting smaller. With Gregson?
Well, I hope so. But we're just talking about Blitz halves 5 minutes ago playing on Scott Pendlebury last night.
We have to do is bring back fat people now, and we've done the whole circle.
Terry, from a list management perspective, people have wanted to attach their name to being the first one to say that, you know, the year is over, the decline's on, and they are going to be non-competitive now for a while. But they've weathered that, and they continue to weather at Geelong.
Settle down, Rota.
Well, people have
they've
wanted
won
to
one
write,
in a row here.
People have wanted to write that story. Well, they played finals footy last year. They're going well again. I mean, they've done to Collingwood off a tough draw to start the year, like a really tough draw to start the year. Is there enough there to suggest they're going to be able to hold their ground in the top eight this year?
Look, I've never thought that they would absolutely fall off the planet because of the fact that they've got Taylor, who's still at the top of his game as the leader of the back line. You've got Selwood at the top of his game as the leader in the midfield. And you've got Hawkins at the top of his game as the leader there. So there's enough, you know, of your key star players who are not declining to sort of think that with doing a little bit of work around the edges, which they've done really. I mean, let's face it. I mean, this has been a...
They've always got know-how as well.
This has been a four-year... I would say they were almost the first side, going back 4 or 5 years ago, who said, we are going to play 20 of our best players each week, and we are going to play 2 development players in the side every single week because we know that this cliff is coming, and so we've got to get enough games into a group of boys around this football club, and Murdoch and those sort of guys just allowing space, Guthrie, those sort of blokes allowing space. Now, some of them haven't come on as well as what they expected. Hall and Smith dropped out of the side last week, but they have naturally planned for it. So, I don't think they'll fall off a cliff at any stage. Mm. And what a side they've been to support. I mean, if you go from 2007, that's the flag. But, I mean, they were playing in finals, you know, the couple of seasons before that. 2006 was poor, but they played finals in the seasons before that. So they've been a brilliant side to follow if you're a Geelong supporter.
But to answer you...
They're not falling off the cliff.
They're not falling off the cliff. But they were that far ahead of the comp as the best team.
No doubt about that.
So you've got to say that era is over.
Yeah, of course.
That era is over. Are they going away?
They can't win a flag.
Are they going away? No.
Mm.
But they're nowhere near the dominant, one of the greatest teams we've ever seen.
Of course not. Yeah. They can play top eight.
Okay, so if you've got four teams at the upper end of the competition, like most of us seem to think they're the big four, and then there's the next category that goes from 5 down to 12, pick a number. Mm. Does Geelong sit in the top half of that
yep.
cluster of turnovers. My gut feeling is that Geelong does sit in the top half of that.
I would think so. I mean, we're starting to see them for the first time lose home games.
Mm.
I mean, all of a sudden they lose to North, they lose to Fremantle at home. That was just a fortress at one stage, so that's not the case anymore. In saying that, I think their home games will still get them to be in that top level of those teams vying for a top eight position.
Yeah, they held out Gold Coast.
Yeah, true.
Who've only knocked over the
Brisbane Lions.
That cannot field a structurally sound team.
And when we talk about inside 50s later on, that was one of the real anomaly games where Gold Coast, by the numbers, should have won that day.
So what about Collingwood? We're still waiting for Chris Scott. What about Collingwood? Have we seen enough to suggest that we know where they're going to occupy the place that they're going to occupy in 2015?
It's funny, when coaches say, if you're 10% off in this competition, you're going to get beaten, I usually just listen to that and it goes out the other ear. I saw Collingwood's pressure in a couple of games this year. It was really immense.
Mm.
And then I saw the game start last night and their pressure wasn't anywhere near Geelong. The energy of running in numbers and tackling. And I thought to myself, okay, when you don't put pressure on Collingwood, you do look mediocre. But when that pressure went on through that sort of late of the second quarter, through the third and the half of the last, I thought to myself, this is a very solid team. Because they had opportunities, but they just couldn't kick goals.
Mm, mm.
And I said before, Sidebottom's their second best midfielder. And they're going to play Greenwood. But their major problem is
Seedsman would have been handy.
Seedsman off the back flank. Yeah, so there's some really critical players. And Buckley, straight away after the game, talked about that pressure. We see it every week, dude.
Mm.
Every week we say that team's hungrier than the other. And guess what happens? Everything falls into place. You've got no game plan if you've got no energy and no pressure.
I wrote at the 12-minute mark of the game, Collingwood's a defensive pursuit team. They take things off the opposition. They're not tonight.
They couldn't get it off them.
They could not get near them.
Terry, coaches have got to be all men to all people. You learn to adapt and cope with all sorts. I imagine you do anyway. Not that I've ever coached anything like the level you obviously have. What is Chris Scott, and you have coached a couple of guys who have had depression, what is Chris Scott going to be learning about the skill set that he needs to develop to provide the right environment and to cope with Mitch Clark?
Well, first up, I'm not sure whether Chris has dealt with that before, even as an assistant coach, whether he's had somebody that he's been working with that's had these type of issues. So that's a question that we'd need to wait and ask Chris exactly where that stands. As I sort of said off the top, I mean, the one thing that I found very, very difficult is when I knew the player and where his feelings were and how he was, I wasn't so bad. But so often, as the coach who's coaching 40, you're sort of coaching them all in a similar fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the penny would drop that this guy is not in the frame that he ought to be at this stage. And dealing with him when you're trying to deal with a team environment, it's really difficult.
What about the criticism? What about the criticism that you have to deal? It's a hard job. You've got to be frank. I said this at the start of the year, Doom. What happens if you're in the media? Are you critical of Mitch Clark? Do you question him if he doesn't go hard for the ball and think, oh, that was a pretty soft effort? Do you make those comments?
I don't think you can tailor, to take us for a start, I don't think we can tailor our conversation to coincide with his misgivings.
His predicament.
Lifestyle. We still have to do our job.
And from the coach, you would have had those conversations about where he is. I mean, the coach clearly has a lot greater tools because he's had sit-down one-on-ones with the player to try to delve in and understand where the player's at.
Terry, I saw Paul Roos last week at quarter time, and I've seen you and I've seen every coach in the history of the game get in people's faces and scream at them. And swear at them, and probably belittle them sometimes.
I've seen a bit of that.
So how would you pull back if you're a coach, or in the heat of the moment, you go as hard as you are, hard as you can, because that's what has to be said.
Well, my answer to that is you go as hard as what you need to, because what needs to be done. But if you know that player is in the spot that he is in at any particular time, then I think at least you've dealt with that before, so you've got the tools to know how to work with that guy.
Because that last one, last night was confronting. Dermot, if you try to speak three times and I'll cut you off. Last night was it was confronting to see. In a football game at the end, I thought, ooh, we're as a competition, entering a new sphere here, and people are going to make all these comments and start abusing him, which they did on social media. It was just absolutely disgusting. And I thought to myself, God Almighty.
What sort of stuff was being said?
Oh, well, I'm not going to repeat it, but they're having a go at Mitch Clark's position.
Yep, okay.
You know, and I'm thinking, God Almighty, either people have got a lot to learn or people are just arseholes.
Hmm.
So I think the latter is
there's a bit of both, I think.
Yeah.
Can I throw a curveball at you? We've got Joel Selwood had six players, teammates on his team last night who got more possessions than him. He got the most centre clearances. So he wasn't the best on, but he was Joel Selwood. He was the heart and soul of that team again, as he is every week. His hand looks like somebody's got a bike pump and pumped up the back of the hand. And having done it before, in both my hands, that looks like a break to me.
Mm.
A, if he wasn't playing last night, even though he wasn't Geelong's best, if he wasn't playing, do they win?
I think the answer is yes. But
you're sceptical.
Yeah, well, because it's just that leadership factor, you know.
And they won the
massive at times when
the main thing with kicking seven in the first quarter, they were able to hold a structure in the forward line ahead of the ball, so that it forced Collingwood to defend one on one, and Geelong beat them one on one as their forwards. Now that can only be done if you win the ball in the centre, and I reckon even though there were other players who were better, Selwood was the most important still in that centre of the ground when the game was putting seven goals in Geelong's favour. With that hand, whatever it is, does he play next week? Probably does.
Well, he went in with it. There was footage before the game of his hand blown up as he was...
It certainly got bigger, Robbo.
Oh, I'm sorry, but if it's broken, can he play with a broken hand? Tell me, guys.
I hated anything like that as a forward who goes on marking, because the one thing you fear is putting your hands up to mark the ball and somebody going bang in the back of it, punching the ball, but getting nothing but your hand.
That's what you would do,
too. But it depends.
Absolutely. But an on-baller, see, he was down on his contested possession, 9. That's his lowest for the year. So say that he wasn't giving everything only when it was absolutely vital and necessary? I don't think he knows how to temper himself.
He handballed the ball last night 30 metres and with the if possibly a broken hand, he didn't even look at it.
Robbo, I'd say that he wouldn't play with that hand, but depends what bone it is. I mean, there's so many bones in your hand. It depends whether it's a major or a minor.
When they were coming in the third quarter, Joel Selwood laid a tackle and then a smother in about 3 seconds. Right, he's got a broken hand and he put his body and hands at a ball that was going to be kicked with such ferocity.
Mm.
And I'm like everyone, I look at him and I just want to be his mate.
you mentioned the combine before, the draft combine. You know, we measure height, we measure pace, we measure explosive jump.
Great comment.
If you could measure desire,
correct.
He's the Don Bradman.
Yeah, freak.
If you wish,
freakish.
Can I ask you, if you wanted someone as your mate like that, who would you pick, Andy?
Still go Hodgie,
I'd
wouldn't you?
I'd take
Hodgie. Yeah, I mean, no, Hodgie's a star.
Actually, you... Yeah, you would be in turmoil.
I know. Hodge Selwood. I'd probably... Joel was from Sanders and Bendigo and I was from there. I'd probably take Joel.
Nah, you know I'd take...
But then I see Hodge play and I go, gee, I actually think the desire on Selwood is only bettered by one or two people.
I don't know if it's bettered.
There was no picks before Hodge. There was 6 picks before Selwood.
And he had a bad knee. Seriously, when Mundy and Fife are going at the ball, hunting the ball, I look at them and think, well, there's not many better than you two.
Can't get through to Chris Scott. I'm going to say Nathan Grimer because he's a hell of a bloke. And he's very, very
and
funny.
And you work with him.
He's a funny man.
He's a funny man. Can't get through to Chris Scott right now. We're going to get him later on in the show.